Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yes, congratulations to both our guests. Not only secured promotion, but also Glenn's Vodka Championship and League One Manager of the Year. Well done, lads.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Delighted?
Yeah, over the moon with the promotion and delighted to be back in the Premiership.
First one? First of many, mate?
We'll wait and see.
Ian, how many you got?
Don't know. A few. Wish it was a great season for us. It didn't look like it was going to happen for a while. I always had faith, but I didn't expect us to have the last 8, 9, 10 games that we had when we were just, they were unbelievable.
Yeah. What changed then, the last 8 or 9 games?
Well, I think getting players fit, I don't know if what James's team was like, but after the first lockdown, you were expecting muscle injuries, but we had like 5 knee operations. We had about 10, 11, 12 out. We got some of them back. The key to it as well was Bell and Rodden getting fit. And bringing Bell in and also bringing Tiffany in.
Tiffany was good, wasn't he, Fess?
He was good, but, and he made a huge, huge impact. But getting Rodden fit, who's just been in the Scotland All-21s, he's if he can stay fit, new wee bit of luck, he's got a real chance.
Yeah. It's not only the trophy and a crate of vodka you get, but also the Celtic job, if any fans it. Part of the prize, fancy
I'm not sure I could get that job.
Brilliant. Just on the celebrations, I seen yours. Did you just go back to Denz or was that a hotel?
It was a hotel, but it was an unofficial party, yeah.
Right, and Cummins, wild. Cummins and McGowan's a bad combination, that.
That's when I seen that happening, I couldn't even stay in there with him. Type McGowan's bad enough, but I had Cummins to that, and you're asking for trouble. Nah, they looked, they were great.
What did Cummins say? Give you a bit?
No. You seen his speech for bring him to the club, and he's going to be an important player, and he doesn't get a minute in the playoffs. Jason's great. He's been great since he came in, and he'll have a big part to play next year.
What about you, Sam? What did you do back to Firhill?
Well, we won it at Firhill when we beat Falkirk at 5-0, and then they were there. I left at 1 o'clock in the morning. But the best story is, my son came in after it, and it was mayhem. Pandemonium. And he came in and he'd had a couple of beers, which is all right, he's 18, but I don't like it that much. But I had to phone the school the next day to say, listen, Edson will not be in, he's got a sore stomach. And then I got to Evening Times, and there's a picture of him in the Evening Times with a bottle of champagne and a flare.
What a guy, I love that.
Oh, Firhill Street was, it was mobbed, utterly mobbed. And I was in at Firhill about 9 o'clock, 9:30 the next morning, and it was just, what a mess it was. But listen, it was relief. We've probably both played in games that important to go and win a title or a cup or whatever, but to go and win it 5-0 and then to be able to relax for 20 minutes, half an hour towards the end, you don't get many things like that. And it was like that, so it was a great night.
So what did the boys do 2 or 3 there? Ended up back in Chick Chandler's house, didn't they?
If they did, I have no awareness of that. No, I tend to stay away from these type of things now.
And you went to Gunstrang and took them out? For a meal, is that right?
I was down there anyway, so Gordon was down and we were out. He's been great for me over the season, so yeah, we had a good time down there with him.
And he couldn't watch the playoff games, he was too nervous?
No, which is a bit surreal, and I find it humbling, if I'm honest, that he was driving about in his car because he was too nervous to watch it. But he's superstitious, and we weren't winning games when he was coming, so he stopped coming to games and we picked up for him. And Gordon thought was because he was coming to the game, so he would watch them on the TV, and then come the end, he wasn't even watching them. He was that nervous.
That's wild, isn't it? A manager like that can't even watch a game.
I've got a great story about Gordon Strachan.
Go on, give us it. He's the man, isn't he?
We were playing, great lad, great guy, Gordon. Right, he was great to me in my career. But we were playing in a testimonial match for a junior player who's his pal, who played at whatever, he played in the whatever junior cup final. He only had one eye, Lex Shields.
Right.
You remember him? That was his pal. So this was the type of Rangers first team game I played in, which was like a testimonial game against Whitburn Juniors or something. And Walter pulled me before the game and he says, because Strachan was playing for the opposition. He says, I don't care how you play tonight. Graham was here as well. I'm no interested how you're playing. Don't care. But see, every time we're away with Scotland, the happy guy Strachan says he's never been nutmegged in his life. So all you need to do is try and nutmeg him. And I nutmegged him twice. And he found out about that after and he was laughing like hell.
Did he say anything you nutmegged him on the pitch?
No, he only found out that Walter had said that to me after.
Brilliant. Has he still got that sense of humour?
Aye, brilliant. Run about the place, run about the boys. When he is in, he's fantastic. But there's somebody to go to and ask questions, and I don't think there's any better for a young manager, certainly, anyway.
Yeah.
And I think even the experienced ones are on the phone to him a lot as well.
Did you have, see, when you were a young manager, did you have somebody like that you could go and speak to as well? Would Walter be one of them?
There's a few over the years. Walter, I was great, and there's a guy called Ian Munro who didn't have a great record as a manager, but his knowledge of football was just second to none. Leash, Jim, Billy, a few.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't phone Leash in football matters because he didn't have a clue. But in terms of managing people, he was very, very good. So there was one or two over the years.
Right, we'll talk about the start of the season. What was it like for you in preparing your team, League One, after how the season ended last year?
Well, I mean, I think I've said enough about that, but it was hard because we felt the new site. Anyway, it was hard. And it was basically jailing a new team, and I don't know how James to try and get a team spirit and a togetherness. I know a lot of younger managers take them clay pigeon shooting and all that nonsense, but you need to actually be together. I don't know what it was like at Dundee, but we were walking into training, no showers, then walking out, and there was no kind of, to add to that, the injuries, and we were missing all sorts of chances. We missed three penalties. It was hard, but I always felt we were still only 6 or 7 points behind Falkirk. And for me, the big thing that gave me hope was we played Falkirk at our place, and we always said they were the team to try and finish above, until they capitulated for whatever reason, I don't know, and it's none of my business. But we drew 2 each, we went for Hill, and we absolutely battered them. We missed a penalty, they scored in the last minute. So I always felt it was there once we get our players back, and that's how it turned out.
And you put your success down to clay pigeon shooting 5 days a week, is that right?
That's what we done. The other boys are brilliant at that.
But Bobby, for you, Jazzy, did you feel that extra pressure? It was your second year in the job to get Dundee promoted.
I did after the first game of the season when we lost 6-2 at Tynecastle. I'm thinking, where do we go for here? Yeah. And that was hard. Tough night, particularly when you're saying it's the weathering that had happened with the vote and all the stuff. It was a certainty that we were going to play Hearts the first game of the season. So that come round and they beat us 6-2. But the same as Ian, I find it hard to believe how there's been such a good team spirit with our boys. I'm sure it's the same at Thistle because that helps you get success, you know, that being in a dressing room. But I don't know how we've managed to do that because they are a very tight-knit group. Yeah. But they're still right up until the end, drive to training. Don't even get showers. Imagine Gowser moaning at everybody, not getting a shower, and then driving home and food, bringing their own food at times. And so that's a credit to the players and how they've managed to do that. Is journeys, like we played Brora away, we weren't allowed a shower. It took us about 2 days to get home. And
yeah.
All right for me, I was in a suit, but they were, for the players, it was a horrible time. Obviously, we get what was going on in the world and all that, and we can understand that, but it was a hard time in football, I think.
That's a tough gig for Jane, for a young manager to be a manager at Dundee to try and win that title. That's a really, really hard gig.
Yeah.
Because you're talking, they are, I always think Celtic, Rangers, Hibs, Hearts, Aberdeen, and the two after that, I think, are the two Dundee clubs. It's a really, really tough job.
Because you've managed up there, you know how tough the fans can be as well.
I played at Dundee, won the championship, whatever it was called, nowadays. I won that with Dundee. And Dundee United, I always thought Dundee United and Aberdeen were two tough jobs because people sitting in the stands or standing watching, it's still we're of a generation to remember Sir Alex and Jim McLean. So you're getting kind of judged at their kind of standards,
yeah.
So which is it's impossible to do. So, they're hard gigs, but I think for a young manager on his first job to go and get promoted with Dundee in it, I think says a lot for him. Well, it's not easy, that.
And especially with no crowd, because with you being the bigger teams in your league, the crowd would have helped you massively this year.
Yeah,
well.
I mean, there's a strain of thought to think maybe the crowd would help. Look, it's different in the Championship, I think, but maybe it would have helped some of the smaller teams. Now, look, without being we've not been disrespectful to anybody. It maybe would have helped them as well. So I think it's been tough for every club, no matter what one way out fans.
Yeah, because we came to play yous at Fir Hill. I was outstanding,
wasn't it? Beat us 1-0.
I was outstanding.
Were you playing? I can't even mind you.
No, but I was. See, when you
I remember you were playing the 3-9 game with Humchip.
Oh, I came off at half time. I was outstanding against you pre-season as well, wasn't
brilliant.
It?
Just you were the back, thing is, the 1-0 point.
So it did say
that 1-0 game, our fans going off their head. I mean, this is one of the things I was a bit. We'd need divine right to beat Embry. Even at East Fife, when we're 2-0 down at half time, people are saying this is a disgrace. This is I've never used the word unacceptable, just never would do it. Unacceptable is racism or all that kind of stuff. Unacceptable isn't it football. But we've made divine right to beat East Fife. That's what I tried to bring back to Partick Thistle. A bit of humility. Mm. We've made divine right to beat any team. None. No team has. Just when you beat us 1-0 at our place, that was the one game in the first 15. You deserve to win that day, no doubt about it.
Yeah, but the first 15 years. But I never the crowd keep you on.
We could
have
had my bigger draw, but Peter had played really, really well.
Thanks, mate. Cheers. Yeah. What about lack of crowd for you? Find that tough?
Yeah, really tough. And as much as people will say, and like you've played in front of the Dundee crowd, and obviously they can get on your back, and then rightly so, like the standards they demand, and they would have got on our back, trust me, when we're losing 3-1 to Queen of the South, or losing 3-1 to Ayr at home. No disrespect to them, but Dundee as a club don't see that and don't take that very well. But there was also games where they would have helped us, and I'm just glad, or I'm hopeful that they'll be back to see it, because I think it'll be an exciting season. We were both there when we came up the first season, that means 7 years ago,
yeah.
And the atmospheres were really good, but no, I think the crowd would have helped us throughout the season.
There was a part in the season both of you were quite far behind the leaders. Was there ever a time you thought it was out of your reach to get promoted? Was there Jazz?
Not promoted, but obviously Hearts were well in front, but I think they ended up 12 points ahead of us, which still disappoints us.
Yeah.
But again, when you talk about the size of that club and the resources they had, then it was always going to be tough. But no, like, I think everybody knew quite pretty early on, by Christmas time, it was the playoffs really, and we felt a case we had to be second.
Yeah.
It took us to the very last game, which I certainly had as an advantage. I come out and I said it, like, you know, say it as well. You've got to kid on at times and say, well, third or fourth, we're not too bothered, because we'll still deal with that. And look, I believe deep down we had the squad depth to deal with it, but second place was pivotal, I think, to getting promoted or helping get promoted, because it saves you that two-legged tie against who it would have been Dunfermline. And those games were tight as well. Mm. So we kind of knew for Christmas or just after that it was probably going to be the playoffs. And that was going to be the route to getting up.
What about you, Ian? Because you were a good bit behind Falkirk at one stage.
Yeah, but that game at East Fife at half time, we were 2-0 down. I think we were 8 or 9 points behind them with a game in hand. So we got 2 goals. And all, I felt after that game they were very important. And then we won our next 6, and didn't lose a goal and scored about 20. So at that point, we felt that goal was really important. The target was always to try and win it, because the playoffs are just a nightmare. So once we got that head of steam up, once Zach Rodden scored his first goal against Clyde, it might have been. We just went in this run, and the momentum just, even guys like Richard Foster, who's about 90 years old now, even guys like Fossey, he played the last 8 games. He played 90 minutes in the last 8 games. Yeah. And Stephen Bell, great pro, who I brought in for a loan and leave because of what happened with lockdown. Just adrenaline got them over the line.
Yeah. How important was that experience of not just the players, but yourself? You see, with Falkirk, I think Lee Miller and Cracks were first job in management. That experience that you had, not just in you, but your players, with guys like Richard Foster, that's invaluable. That season.
I mean, I think Foster was outstanding. And I tried to calm it all a wee bit and just gradually get it going and not be too panicky and not be too up. Because I think you can always say as a man, this is the biggest game ever, but you know, what do you say next week then?
Yeah.
Well, it's bigger than the biggest game ever. So you try and just. And we always felt, and I managed both David and Lee Miller, but you always felt with an experience it might count against them a wee bit. Whether that happened, because if they'd stayed in the job, it would have been different, I don't know. So Yeah, I mean, it did help, there's no doubt.
Does Foster play his missus' music in the dressing?
We heard him in the karaoke with the day we got presented the trophy, singing his Amy's song. Aye. And he says, I don't know any of the lines, but he sang it, he didn't even look at the screen. So he obviously did.
He's got a terrible, Aberdeen accent's terrible for that.
Aye, and his dress sense, he wears like clothes for 22-year-olds. It's a wee bit bizarre, but anyway.
Do you ever pull him up for things he like says on Sports Scene or that? Now?
No, I get him the gig in Sports Scene. So I think he's reasonable at it.
Yeah, he's good.
Decent gig, yeah.
And you had obviously Charlie, experienced guy. But what I liked about you is there was a stage where Charlie was in the plane.
Yeah, and that's credit to Charlie as well. He took that.
Yeah,
and he worked hard. Look, he had a lot. It's well documented, the problems he had. He had obviously his mother, then the COVID. So that had to be taken into account, and we had to protect him a bit, because with Charlie coming back, there were massive expectation on one, him, and two, Dundee, because we had Charlie back. But when he was out of the team, we were doing well. And we went on a run, he played 4-4-2, and you'll not believe me when I tell you, but it was a midfield two, Gowser and Max Anderson. And they went, and I think we went on it was a 4 or 5 game. Well, they won 5 out of 7 playing that way.
Yeah.
But Charlie was always going to be really important, particularly at the end of the season when the big games were coming around. That experience and the where he's played. But in the same way, I think you can throw in the likes of Paul McGowan, that they've played in big games.
Yeah.
There's a lot. Liam Fontaine's played in big games in England and in Scotland. So there were a lot in the squad come the latter stages that I think certainly helped me. As a young manager, those players helped me.
So Charlie come to you and ask why he wasn't playing?
Yeah, we had a chat. Look, he's been great. He's worked. One thing about him, he still works hard. He still wants to, which again is really good. He still always wants to learn and get better, which I think you can see that. He's like, he could quit if he wanted. He didn't need to come to Dundee, and as much as everybody says, you pay a fortune to get him, but he's doing that for because he loves the club.
Yeah.
And he didn't need to do that and move his family back up here, but he came, he had a chat, and he was great.
So one bed he's got in front of him, isn't it? That's where he's staying.
Aye.
He'll have a few quid, Charlie, won't he?
What's the story with his accent, though, his anglicised accent? I just don't get it.
He's 5 minutes from me, he grew up 5 minutes from me, but he sounds like he's...
But I will, they'll say the two of the passes against Raith Rovers, David Cooper would be pleased with him.
What one was better, that's first or second? One.
Second.
Aye, probably the second.
The first one we worked on.
But that's high praise. David Cooper would be proud of him.
Oh, he was your boy, wasn't he?
I played with Cooper, he was my head tennis partner, aye.
Did he used to pick you up?
No. I had a Muse cottage in West End, and a mate of mine was a taxi driver. He used to come in at 9:45, come up the drive, and chat my door, and that would be me get out of it. So, no. Coop used to go to... They used to go to Nico's, him and Jimmy Nicol, for a coffee every morning before they came to training.
Wow,
that was
that.
A fair squad.
Right. What about other characters? You managed Andy McLaren and Charlie Miller, didn't you? How were they two to manage?
Fine. Andy was on his way back from his problems, I think. Yeah, I think he was. And he did really well. It was the season we finished fourth or fifth in the Premier League. And I mean, Charlie was... He was Charlie, but I mean, he could play.
Yeah.
I mean, really could play. But the last 6 months, Charlie was going into... He was out of contract. So you find a player like that going out of contact, he's easy to manage because he's just given it everything.
Yeah.
And that 6 months, I watched him play against Celtic, Rangers and all these teams. Just ran the show. I mean, he was the best midfield player in Scotland. He left at the end of the season. He was obviously playing to try and get a good move. Charlie was just...
Did you ever need to pull him out of a flat in Castlemilk?
No, I didn't. But I remember when I first took the job, and it's a true story. When I first took the job, everybody was saying, you'll get the best out of Charlie. How will you get the best out of Charlie? Because you were just like him and that, because you liked doing ridiculous things, of which I don't do anymore. And I remember I met him. I says, I'm not going to do anything. I'll just meet him and I'll have a chat with him. So I met him in the post office pub in Broughty Ferry, where I had a flat just opposite. And I says, right, we'll have a pint to try and get to the bottom of things. And we ended up in the kebab shop about 11:30 at night. So I don't think that worked. But he was a genius. He was an absolute genius of a footballer.
What would he do things in training that you would generally go, wow?
Yeah, and do you know what? He could get about the pitch as well when he was fit, when he was at himself, and he could tackle. I mean, he knows he should have done, like a lot of people should have done far, far more in his career than he did. I mean, I think he's only got one cap. So, but that 6 month period, he was, he outclassed the Celtic players, the Rangers players. He was magnificent.
Does Charlie Dings in training, you think, well?
Yeah, he does. Like,
has he shot for the half early in training? Was that you going mad at him in the... was it?
Aye.
Because it wasn't on that one, was it?
No, Paul McMullen's winning goal. And that would have... You're talking about being comfortable late on. I'm still thinking, if they get another goal, this could
100%
get nervy.
And yeah, yeah.
Paul McMullen straight in if he slips him, but nah, Charlie, like, he's tried it a couple of times, to be fair, and like, he's done it against Chelsea, so who am I to shout
at him?
Nice. Nah, that's another thing about making you can take it when you... He's very, like, respectful.
Open to criticism, is he,
right?
Take
it, yep. And that was one thing that... I wasn't surprised, because everybody I spoke to about him said that, and he's hard on himself, he's got high standards, but when you have a go, he can take it.
Yeah. What about Cummins? Has he done anything that's made you laugh at in around the club?
Just everything.
Every day, is it?
Nah, he just walks in and just... He's Jason. Obviously, I knew him when he was a kid. He's still a kid. Acts like a kid.
Does he
act
every day?
Acts younger.
Who's his pal, Gip McGowan?
I had to separate the two of them. Like, keep them as far away from each other as possible, or that would be just mayhem. It's good. As I say, it's been different. It would have been better if we were in the dressing room.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a real good group there, and but swinging for chandeliers and impersonating team talks, that's just Jason.
And do you feel for former gaffers now that you are a manager with some of the dressings that you had?
Aye. Yeah. Yeah, being former gaffers, talking about one of my players now, Cammy Kerr, and we're almost lit him in fire once. I've got to shout at him.
He just signed a new 2-year deal, isn't he? He's done great towards the end of the season. Yeah. What a boy.
Had to play left back for a while when Jordan Marshall was out, who's excellent for us, and Cammy stepped in at left back and might actually be a left back, you know.
Yeah. Right, can you talk us through the stresses they're running? Last couple of games, Ian.
Aye, but listen, as Jace was saying, when we went 4-0 up against Falkirk, for our club, that's a really kind of significant scoreline, because we were thinking we can relax now, but I'm speaking to Ruffy after it. And all Thistle fans, at 4-0 up in 1971 at half-time, even in the dressing room, and the fans were just thinking themselves, they're going to come back and win this. So at 4-0 up with 20 minutes to go, when you're part of Thistle manager, you're still a bit nervous, because of 1971. There was a bit of stress, but it was different for James, I think, because he had to go to the right to the last game, and the pressure's still on big time. We went to Montrose and we took about 9 or 10 of the boys didn't even come up to the game. That, to be fair, a few of them were legitimate in terms of their injuries, but I would have hated to go to that last game needing a point or something like that. Mm. So once we won 5-0, stress gone.
What's your team talks like towards the end of the season?
Quiet, informal, the world's against us, etc, etc, etc.
Yeah, siege mentality.
Well, you just do things, don't you?
Yeah. What about your running? So went last game with Rafe?
Yeah.
That was so important, that game, because Rafe had a great season, kind of deflated them, didn't you, that last game?
I think also because they beat us at Starks and on that day battled us.
Play good football, Rafe, don't they?
Yeah, very good. He had them going really well, and we actually had to change the way we played against them, which again is credit to them. Like, they came to Dens on that second last game of... It was the second last game of the season, and if they win or they get a draw, then they finish second, and we know we're playing Dunfermline in the quarter final as opposed to the semi final. So that was a massive, massive 3 points of the season. But I think for them as well, they knew then that day, cause we were very good against them at Dens early in the season. They scored a late equaliser, but they knew that day that when they came to Dens, and I think they also saw we had everybody fit as well. Yeah. So I think that was a kind of marker put down for us, and then again, we still need the favour for Hearts, who they had won the league, and I'll just be honest and say I wasn't expecting any favours for Hearts. But they went and they beat Rafe that day, and we done the job at Queen of the South, which again was really important, going down there, because we had struggled there a couple of times, and it was 3-0 on the night, and it could have been anything that night. But and then that was momentum, I think, getting into that, and that did deflate Rafe a bit. And I watched the two games when they played Dunfermline, and bearing in mind, they had battered Dunfermline had battered them as well over the season. So the two of them, to me, were pretty nervy games. Rafe obviously came out on top, but they were both pretty nervy games. And by the time we got them, I think, as you say, Charlie's two passes at Starks that night were world class, as Ian says, at any level of football. And then it was kind of a weird one because you're 3-0 up.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You talk about 4-0. We were 3-0 up against Dunfermline this season with 12 minutes to go and drew 3 each.
He's dead.
I'm thinking, how did you come back for that? then we're 2-0 down against them after 6 minutes. I'm thinking, this is worse. We won 3-2 that night, so that was all right. But we're 3-0 up that day, but it was a tricky... It then became a tricky tie because it sounds...
Whether to go for it or whether to just sit in?
We were always going to go. We wanted, because we were on an unbeaten run, I think we were 10 or 11 unbeaten at the time. We wanted to continue that, but we also knew at the time that Liam Fontaine missed the game and Jordan McGee dropped back to centre-back, who was so effective at making the runs for Charlie to make the passes.
Yeah.
But we knew we just had to get through that game because we knew they were very dangerous. And we lost the game 1-0, but we were comfortable in it. I think we had the better chances, but we were still disappointed that we lost that game. And you could see that in the players. And that was the worrying thing then, because I'm thinking, how do you pick them up? Because we're going into a play, no, how do you pick them up, but we're going into a playoff. They were that high because they blew Rafe away on their own pitch.
Yeah.
A few days later, they lost their unbeaten run because we kept at that. Like, if we're going to catch them, we need to finish it. We need to be on a big or go on a long unbeaten run, which they've done, credit to the players. But that day they were a bit deflated, and we had them in the next day, and it was just a case of picking them back up and
clay
showing them.
Clay pigeon shooting.
That's what we've done. We went clay pigeon shooting, and wee guys have never hurt anything because they forgot his specs.
Brilliant. See, when you actually do it, Ian, is it joy or is it mere relief that you've got there in the end?
It's a bit of both. I mean, I as everybody ran on the pitch, I just walked down the track, went in the office to phone my mum, and then came back in the park. I think the joy was when we got the trophy on the, whenever it was. The relief as well, of course. I mean, it's a mixture of emotions when you do something, doesn't matter what it is, whether it's escape relegation, winning a relegation playoff, getting promotion, winning a championship. There's always, it's no easy to achieve in football. You play a game of football, there's 11 people trying to stop you what you want to do.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what level it is. It's not easy.
And what's the mum? Do you phone her after every game?
Oh, because I know she'd be watching the radio and she'd have been kind of greeting and all that kind of stuff. And she's 87, I've been down all the time to see her and stuff, take her out for a walk. So that was just the first thing I wanted to do, and I did it.
Brilliant. What about you when the final whistle went, Kelly?
That was just joy. Like, I've never felt in. I've never won anything in football, been beating cup finals. So Ian's obviously had a lot more success than me. So it was just more. I don't think it was a kind of pressure thing at the time after it when. When I sobered up a couple of days later, I went, thank God for that, but it was kind of...
No, somebody was... done your motor.
see, one thing I'll say is, I don't know if James agrees on this, see, over the season, I was under pressure at some point, so was he.
Yeah.
You know, that comes with the job if you look these days.
When were you under pressure, Ian? Sorry, Nana.
For most of the season, when we get demoted, it was... Everyone was my fault and stuff, and we won't be able to win it and all that. And then all this, you know, we missed a couple of penalties. That was my fault, and fans were getting antsy. And you know, it's these days with social media, the type of pressure managers put on—it's just ridiculous. It's utterly ridiculous. So we must have—I felt it. I'm pretty sure James felt it. So that's when you've got to remain calm, and because I'd been there a million times before. Because, so it says a lot for a young manager to come through that and go and do what he did. I'd say I've said an awful lot.
Yeah, because you were on a bit of a bad run at one stage, weren't you?
A bit. No, no. We had a few bad runs throughout the season, as I say. Like, and probably, I can't remember when their game was, but it was David Hopkins' first game, and he came and beat us 3-1 that night. We looked, McCown was outstanding. That's how we signed him, so he can't do that to us again. but that was a real low point. Queen of the South winning 3-2. Dens was a low point, obviously the Hearts game at the start, but yeah. Like,
pressure for the board as well, Jazza?
No, I will say that. Like, and they've come out and said it this week, so I can see it. And whether it was what they were saying behind closed doors, I can't obviously comment on that. But I had Gordon, that, as I say, and had Dave to go and. Like, Dave's young as well.
Dave McKay, yeah.
Dave's been at Stirling, lost his job at Stirling, so the two of us are pretty young and inexperienced, and this are very inexperienced in this side of the game. But I think having Gordon was massive, particularly in the real bad moments. I know that sounds bad, where you, it's not just the case where you pick the phone up to him in the bad moments, because he's the first on the phone when we win as well. But having him to go, and I can remember we drew with Morton down at Capello, and we drew with someone, and I had a text that straight after the game. He says, "Great point." I'm thinking, I think he's just trying to pick me up here. And I phoned him, and he says, "No, look, that point will be important come the end of the season." And it was the first thing he texted me, or one of the first things, remember, those wee points you were picking up.
Yeah.
And it was, because it was leading us onto a run, and it was getting that, maybe took us to four games unbeaten. But it was maybe even a home game we drew, I can't remember, but late in the game, and Lee Ashcroft scored against Morton at home, and he texted me straight after it, saying that'll be a good point. Obviously, he'd watched the game, and I'm thinking, but I'd never been in that position before, where I'm thinking, well, how can it be? I'm not being disrespectful, because Morton's a good club, but it, Dundee are meant to beat Morton at home.
Yeah.
That's just what they expect. And to have that, and just it worked out well in the end, and just having that to go to has been a blessing for us.
Just quickly, is Lee Ashcroft the best header on the ball in the world?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I tried to sign him before we went to Dens.
Did you, right?
I like him, man. I like him. Great boy, you know.
Yeah.
Great boy.
So hard working.
Just the right type of boy you need in your dressing room.
You're talking about an experience of being a young manager, but what's the benefits? You started as a young manager in your 30s as well. Maybe close up the players in age? You can relate to them a bit more?
When did I start? 97 or something like that? I was still playing at the time. I was player manager.
Yeah, my first, that tough?
Aye, it was that tough. I scored my last, believe it or not, I scored my last ever senior goal at Somerset Park. We beat them 1-0 in extra time. So, I had players like Joe McLaughlin and Fraser Wishart who I played beside at Falkirk in the Premier League. So, T-Bone, if you're asking me if there's benefits or not, I can't really tell you, because I don't remember, because it's that long ago.
Can you remember having like shockers as a player manager, and you had to come in and slaughter boys?
I found it very, very hard to do the both. I maybe started 3 or 4 games. The rest of the time I just came off the bench. And the last ever game I came off the bench was, I don't know if you remember it, because the Sun the next day, instead of doing a team photo, did a team photo of the crowd. There was 27 fans there. East Stirling beat us 2-1 at Capello. Wow. That was my last ever, an inglorious end to an inglorious career.
What made you start in management? Was there a certain manager that got you in it?
I had no plans to do it whatsoever. It was just people that were taking over at Clyde Bank asked me to do it. I mean, that was it. I had no plans to do anything like that. I mean, I thought I might play on for a while. And then they announced they were going to Dublin, and we took the heat for it, and we had no idea about the Dublin thing. But all the punters were giving the players a wee stick for going to Dublin, as if we had to say, right, we're going to Dublin to play. You know, so... No, I had no plans to. They just asked me to do it, and I did it, and it went all right.
And what's changed since then in management? Is it the time that you get as a manager?
Well, I think it's always been a bit like that, but certainly, I mean, the pressure that can come from one game is different now. You never have you needed a strong chairman and a strong board more to shut out. I know everybody's trendy to say the noise, but to shut that out. And the social media, I'm not on Facebook, I'm not on Twitter, I'm not on any of these things. And some of the stuff that goes on, I was talking to Neil Lennon the other day there, I'm name dropping, but only because his son plays with my 17s, Gallagher.
Good player.
And the stuff he went through, and Derek McInnes, a good pal of mine, he went through, it was just wrong. I mean, I wonder whether all the casualties and management people have left have to do with the pandemic. There must have been about 10 jobs up there.
Yeah.
So I just, and also the media, I think they're overly aggressive in their approach to talking to managers now. So there's been a lot of subtle changes. The biggest thing is the social media side of things. It's just bonkers. I mean, Neil Lennon can take it, Derek can take it, I probably get it, I can take it. I've got a son and a few parents, they're on it all the time. Mm. So you're taking absolute dog shit, but serious stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like out of order stuff, and they're reading it. Not good. Not
you think good. Lenny will get back in soon?
If he wants to, I'm sure. I think he said to me he's doing a bit of media stuff, and he's, I mean, to be fair, he's watching Gallagher every Sunday. We've got a good 17s right now, very good.
So is that Thistle 17s Gallagher plays it?
Aye.
Is he right?
Aye, good.
Centre mid like his dad?
No, he plays left centre back. Aye. And he's tall, handsome, slim, very unlikely, isn't
he? What about setbacks in management for a wee bit of advice for James as a young manager? How do you deal with setbacks?
See, but the one thing I'll say is I played at Dundee and I managed Dundee United. I genuinely believe that if James has come through this season, I think it'd be fine. Because I think this season the pressure of Dundee to go up was huge.
Mm.
And he's came through that. So, I mean, I think the fans will know and the board will know that next season you'll not be going in a 12-match unbeaten run. That won't happen. But, you know, I think it'll be a gradual process because Dundee should be, probably not next season, but they should be, I think, James McGee going to try and get in the top six.
Yeah.
There's no advice from you. Who the hell am I to give advice? But if he's came through this, I think he's suited to come through anything.
Do you still pinch yourself a wee bit? Like, no, a lot of managers have got Dundee promoted. It's a tough job getting Dundee at the Championship.
The Championship's a hard league. I last played in it when I was at Livingston, and I can remember it a wee bit, but we're probably going into it as a manager. I'm thinking every game was tough, and Ian's team's guiders are doing it at times last season as well. And it's a tough, tough league. There were no easy games, and you see the teams that go down and the time it takes them to come out. Hearts are the only one, they've done it twice now, that have come out first time you're asking. Hibs, it took them a few years. Rangers, it took them 2 years. I think Dundee United were four.
Mm.
So to get out of it after 2 years.
And they're experienced managers that took that time to get these teams out of these leagues.
But I think Robbie in his first time was at Hearts, that was his first job. That was a great, that one, but particularly with Hibs and Rangers in the league at the same time. But it's a tough, tough league and no game's easy. Not that any game's easy in the Premiership, but I think the champ to get out that league and everything, especially when they're, like we were in it with Dundee United, we were in it then with Hearts, so you're in it with, I'd say, big close budgets, we'll say, on that, because they did and they had the power to do that, and it worked for them because they got out. But to be in it and then, we call it the first full season because we got caught, cut short because of the pandemic last season, we'd have fancied the playoffs again because we were in a good position. We'd had a good bit of form. But yeah, look, I think it was key to the football club to get out of it. We needed to be back in the Premiership and have the derbies back, which again is massive for the city as well. So to pinch myself, I pinch myself that I'm the manager, that even through bad times that they stood by me. But I think and I hope now that it's repaid a little bit because it's shown that, and I hope, because I like Mark Kerr and I'm not talking about other clubs. I'm are, but I'm not wanting to pass judgment because I don't know what goes on. But I was talking to Mark Kerr on the morning that he got sacked, and because I had a phone call for Jack Ross, similar phone call maybe a couple of weeks earlier, saying, well, just dig in, just keep working away, because we were going through a bad spell. And I'm mates with Kerr, so I spoke to him and just says, look, mate, do you think we had a game called off about six times and we were preparing to play his team? Which they were very good and very dangerous. And then by the time we trained on the Sunday, and he came off the training pitch and says, I had a missed call for him and he'd let him go. And I think a lot of that was down to social media looking back. I don't know if Ian wants to.
Well, I think Hardman had replaced as well, so one of that big shoes to fill, didn't he?
Well, if Lachlan had still been chairman, he wouldn't have left.
Yeah,
right.
I know that for a fact. Yeah. So I think Kerr, I had Kerr as a player three times, Dundee United, Falkirk. I took him here as a 30 and he was terrific for me. And we'd a right good side then. We had some real players, serious good football players. And I thought, to be fair, I know it didn't go well for a spell, but I thought he was really, really harshly treated down there, really harshly treated. And I know for a fact, because I'm on the phone to Lack all the time, and Lachlan Cameron, who's the old chairman, and he would have been given a lot more time. Because basically he'd signed a certain type of player to play a certain type of way, and then they changed it around. It was, I thought it was a bizarre one, but there you are.
Did you love your time? Oh, sorry, John.
No, I think that goes back to you talking about the pressures of social media and having a strong, I don't know the chairman but I agree with Ian. They had four games in hand on some teams. They hadn't played in so many weeks, and because of the pressures of fans on social media, then they decided to make that change, and look what happened. They did escape it in the end, but certainly we went down there and beat Air United 3-0 and absolutely battered them the night. I tell you, we never went down there and done that when Ian or Matt were in charge. And that's no any slight on David Hopkin, because he's had promotion and he's got out of that league, but it was just a different type of game, and I would liken them to the way Raith Rovers played. They were real tough games to play, and we had some really good games over that period. And it was just, I feel that for young managers.
You mentioned young managers, so you said Jack Ross, you've told me this before, has been a massive help for you.
He has been, he's been good.
Did you know him before? You took the job?
Yeah, through the PFA stuff.
Just through PFA.
And then just keeping in touch and speaking to him, he's been very helpful.
Michael Beale, another one.
Yeah, he's different class. Yeah, he's one of the best, actually, just for...
Again, what, meet on a course?
Through a friend, the sports scientist at Coventry worked with him at Liverpool. And then just for the stuff that he'll help you with and the advice he gives you. And again, Billy's young, and he's... But the career he's had and the experience he's had and what he's done. And to have somebody to go to like that, obviously Gordon's up here, but having Michael Beale to speak to as well has been a massive help. But there's loads out there, and again, you've name dropped him, not me.
Yeah.
There's loads out there, and I think I don't know, Ian will probably doesn't need to do it now, but she's a young manager. I think you need to take as much advice as you can, and even going into, because it was all new to me, going into the offices and stuff, I'd always be asking questions. He was probably wanting me out, but...
I think you always need to take advice, you know, big time.
Are you still taking advice now, Ian, though?
Nah. No, of course. Of course. I mean, you're talking about Michael. I know Michael because I know Stephen and Gary really well. I played with Gary 40 years ago. Well, 50, I can't remember, 40 years ago at Motherwell. And I've never known two boys that have played at that level. And I've only met Michael once, but you talk to Stephen Gerrard and Gary to talk so highly about a coach, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. Aye. Sessions are meant to be top class, aren't they? Aye. Right, both up the division next season. What's your targets? Ian, you can go first.
My target is the top four, and I've said that every year you go for the top four, then arithmetically it tells you can finish fourth, third, second or first, so that's the target.
Right, Jazza?
First same top four.
John said top six in his interview, but no, look, the first target's staying up. And there's no doubt about that. We need to be, when we got the job, that was the aim, is to build a squad that could sustain being in the Premier League. I don't think that 5 years was long enough the last time for a club of that size. And we believe if we can, with the players we're adding and the squad we've got, then and we play the way we can, then we can compete in that league. But look, it's going to be tough, we know that. But the first target, I'm sure Ian's been in this position and he's been asked this question with club, is the first target staying up. Callum Davidson, his first interview he'd done last season, his first target was to stay in the division. He's won two cups.
Brilliant.
So what an achievement for him, delighted for him. Dundee fans will not like me saying that because it's St Johnstone, but Cal's a great lad and delighted for him. For the only target at the minute, stay in the division, and then whatever comes after that's a bonus.
Last question. Ian, especially this new modern way everyone wanting to play it through the back, what's your thoughts on that?
Do you know the things that, you know, I in 1998 I started playing three at the back, and after 6 years everybody said, oh, you can't do that. Now everybody's doing it again. Some people do it, but you'll do it when it's on and don't do it when it's no, and it's pretty simple stuff. And listen, for this is a great example, I think. I'm now playing with two strikers, and that's kind of went out of the washing.
So 4-4-2.
Well, you can do it in certain ways, but... Right. I think that'll come back in. I think 5 years' time, people play with two strikers again.
You think so? So just kind of...
Yeah. All the time. It goes like that all the time. Yeah. How can you play three at the back then all the top teams are playing three at the back? How can you do that then? Players win football matches, no systems.
Yeah. Because I watched you early doors when you got the job. I was quite intrigued because we spoke before you got it and you said, we're going to play it through the back. How quickly did you see that you can't in Scotland you can't just have that one way of playing?
Well, I had a great under 18 side and a few of them have played in the first team and we could do that. And I was naive, I'll admit that, to think I can come in and this is going to be, that's the way we're going to play. And then, as I say, you get to the end of September, October, the pitches are poor. And you're trying to play out. The crowd are on your back because you're not getting anywhere at times.
Yeah.
And I'll agree with Ian there. We went through a spell there where you know, I thought 4-4-2 isn't in fashion. We went 4-4-2 and we were winning games. We had two strikers that were causing problems. We had, like I say, Paul McGowan playing central midfield. Nobody would say like he could do that anymore, but he was still doing really well. We had wingers on both sides. It was so it was a going back to the way we were brought up.
Yeah.
And, no, so I think it's just finding a way to win. And in the end, we were back to 4-3-3 with Paul McGowan playing wide left to a front three again. Which
couldn't believe it when I seen him.
Nobody says he can do it. When you've got Paul McMillan on the other side, then yeah. Gouser causes a different problem. So, no, I think it's each game. And I use the Raith Rovers one as an example. I think they had 60-odd% possession at Dens and lost the game. So we sat off them and tried to catch them in a different way. And it worked for us over the both ties in the playoffs as well. So that was a harsh learning curve for me because I thought, nah, it was dead sunny and the friendlies were good. I think the League Cup fixtures were good. We beat Inverness early in the League Cup and this is going to be great. We're going to play out all the time. Yeah. And bang, there you go. Down to Carpalo in November, trying to play it.
Trying to play it for the back.
Trying to tell Dorns to go and go on the ball. And I'm saying,
I watched that game.
Leave it, just he's doing that.
Listen, see, soon as at Rangers with all the top players they had, he wouldn't have let Chris Hughes throw the ball out in the first 25 minutes of the game.
Really?
And he says that was the same with the great Liverpool teams. Don't throw the ball out, don't take it. There. And then the game goes like that, and then they start to really play.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. Last question, who wants to sign us next year? Bidding war starts now.
To sign... to present some sort of radio show or something?
After dinner. After dinner.
I'll take you.
Oh, you know
that? I'd take you back.
I've got used to top six before, and I'll do it again.
I know.
In the Premier League.
You need that experience back.
What age are you now?
33.
Are you is it all?
Nah, still young, yeah.
I've
just read you're being loyal to Peterhead somewhere in one rag.
I'm staying at Peterhead.
Right. Oh, there you go.
Love it. Right, boys, thanks very much. Just a couple of heroes.
Cheers, thank
cheers.
You.
Cheers.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.